Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining us again today as we continue this week. We began to dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about the power of the cross. And we're going to continue to get into this idea that Paul already puts to us, the power of the cross in contrast with the wisdom of the world. And as we began yesterday, we talked about how Paul's saying, you know, I didn't come to you in these lofty words of wisdom. I didn't come to you trying to make this attractive to you, trying to make you get it, trying to make this be appealing to you. And there was something that I want to build on from yesterday, because he says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And first, what I was thinking about in my own life is that's a pretty good principle to live by. And I think that's one that we should put in our own lives of, this is one of my uncompromising principles, that I live knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. And I think that's actually kind of a dangerous prayer. That the more we ask that, the more we ask that of the Lord, the more we ask to know him crucified, it's kind of like, we're going to see Christ in a whole new way. We're going to experience things in a whole new way. We might even experience suffering. We might even get to taste the cross. But also, Jesus Christ crucified, in another place, Paul will say, it is a stumbling block for the Jews. The cross of Christ opposes human wisdom. The cross of Christ for the Jews, for the Romans, it was an instrument of humiliation. And so there's this interesting connection there that Paul's saying, the thing that I am wanting to know the most, the thing that I'm focusing on, the thing that I'm making the core of my preaching, the thing that I'm making the core of my heart, particularly in this place that's kind of this booming metropolis. Think of, again, a place like Miami or New York City, this really cool place with cool people that are wealthy. And sometimes we think that those people are in need of the gospel. And Paul's saying it's especially there that I need to bring Jesus Christ crucified. Not this message of like Jesus that makes you prosper, not like a live long and prosper message, which I think is really popular in the culture of like, yeah, Jesus makes you better. He makes you happier, all these different things. And it's not that that's not true, but it's this way of looking at Jesus as a pathway to prosperity. And we ultimately will have prosperity in heaven. But when we look at Jesus, when we look at the man who's fully alive, we see the cross. And so that's just something that I wanted to bring to mind, is to make that principle of yours. What does it look like in your life to know Jesus and to know him crucified? To know the crucified Christ, to keep both the crucified Christ and the risen Christ before our eyes. Because even when Jesus rises, right, he keeps his wounds. So to know and to keep the crucified Christ and the risen Christ before us at all times. And now we're going to take a few more minutes to dive into this portion of the passage before we move on tomorrow to the next portion, where Paul's really going to show us how the Holy Spirit is at work in revealing to us the wisdom of God, in a really incredible passage. But first, we're going to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. So if you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, today we come before you and we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our minds to you. We surrender our emotions to you, our experiences to you, our days to you. We exalt you. We glorify you. We worship you. We want to see you lifted high in these scriptures. We want to see you revealed. We want you to change us and to make us more like you. And Lord Jesus, today we approach your word with a spirit of rejoicing. We thank you that you have been crucified and that you have risen from the dead. We thank you for the joy of Easter, for the gift of this season. And we ask, Lord, that you would come and dwell in our hearts in a deeper, more joyful way. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and continue to read. We're going to reread that passage that we read yesterday and just finish out on that particular portion today, and then we're going to move on tomorrow. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So a couple things to touch on there, right? We were talking about how the cross is a scandal. The cross is a stumbling block for the Jews. It's a point of confounding, of confusion, to say, why would Jesus die? The God-man, the one who was supposed to overthrow the Romans, here he is being humiliated on the cross. And Paul's saying, this is what I want to focus on. This is where the true power is, not in clever arguments, not in worldly wisdom, but the scandal of the cross. He'll say in the chapter before, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Power comes forth from it because, one, God is working through it, but two, it contradicts our human expectations. First, that power looks like weakness. Two, glory looks like suffering. And three, victory looks like death. It confounds us. It stumps us. We can't figure out why this is the case. And this is the reason, friends, that Paul comes. He says, I come in weakness because the cross has the power. And for me, it's so comforting to say, Paul, who actually was an amazing orator, he was an amazing talker, he was a chief rabbi. He knew all the arguments backwards and forwards. There's a time when he goes to the Greeks and he does this amazing speech where he's basically doing these mental gymnastics. Paul had it in him to do it. But he's saying, I know where the power lies, and the power lies in my weakness. I can't count how many times I've shown up to a prayer meeting or shown up to a talk or shown up to do ministry, and I just feel that pressure of trying to make something happen myself. Trying to make something happen. And trying to say, come on, got power of God, come through me, come through my preaching. I got to find something good to say. You know, even last night I was leading this prayer meeting, and I was kind of comparing myself to how someone had led it before. And I was hearing about how my friend had led it, and they were like, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. And I just, as I was praying in the prayer meeting, I wasn't like feeling anything particular from the Spirit. And I had this kind of temptation to force it, to kind of drum up some words that would sound good and be like, maybe then that'll get the Holy Spirit moving. And the Lord was just like, no, just pray. Just pray. And as I did that, and I kind of felt, friends, like I was in this place of weakness, like, man, I'm not hearing the Lord. And the Lord was like, just pray and just worship. And as I was there, I just felt the Lord leading me to lead them in something very simple. And I was like, no, that's not powerful enough. But the Lord was like, just rest in this. And I honestly felt like I was resting in my weakness. And truly, so much in my life lately, I felt like I'm resting in my weakness. As I was just sharing on the episode yesterday, I felt like sometimes we just have these seasons that are like sprints where you're like, man, I feel super tired, or I feel like I don't have a minute to get anything done, or I feel like I'm just always moving on to the next thing, whatever it is. And I just felt like I'm continually every day saying like, Lord, I have to be dependent on you. I have to be dependent on you. I was doing a talk the other day and I just felt like I was stumbling. I was rushing and I was stumbling over my words so much, and I wasn't within the time frame that I wanted to be. And I was just like, Lord, I'm out of it. And I just had to give him my weakness and just live in that. And so Paul's saying, I come to you in weakness and much fear and much trembling. Sometimes when we share the gospel, we're afraid. Sometimes when we give it to our friends and family, we're afraid. Sometimes when we bring up the name of Jesus, we're afraid. And it's so consoling to me that Paul, he's saying, I came to you and I was weak and I was afraid. I was actually so afraid, I was trembling. And there's also a way that in much fear and trembling means a sense of awe and wonder before the power of the cross. So Paul's saying, if you come, I come before you in my weakness, that I don't have anything to give you. but I'm holding on. I'm clinging to the power and the scandal of the cross through which power will be demonstrated. And I'm doing that in fear and trembling, in wonder and in awe of what God has done, of who God is. Not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration. This word demonstration, it reminds me of Romans 5, where it says God has demonstrated his love. God has showed his love. God is a show off in the best way possible. He demonstrates his love for us. And when he encounters us and when we encounter him, he wants to demonstrate the power of the cross and the power of the gospel. And sometimes I'm trying to demonstrate on my own. And friends, there's a simplicity. There's a simplicity in this. There's a simplicity in just coming before and saying, I'm weak and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach Christ and Christ crucified. I'm going to preach him risen from the dead. That's all I'm going to do. And the Spirit of God is going to come upon what I say. I don't have to be screaming it from the rooftops. I don't have to say the right thing or the wrong thing. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to have all these scriptures that I back it up with. I don't have to be perfectly theologically trained. I just have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in simplicity. And the Spirit of God will come upon it. And God will demonstrate in power the power of the cross. Why? That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I think this is why people are losing faith. Because their faith was resting on a good sermon they heard. Their faith was resting on that pastor they were following that was a really good preacher. Their faith was resting on X, Y, and Z piece of content. And then when they began to suffer, when things couldn't make sense, they weren't relying on the power of God. The center of the reception of faith is the power of God. In the scripture, we see people coming to faith through the demonstration of power, through signs and wonders. That Peter goes out, right, and he preaches. And then what happens? The man at the front of the synagogue is healed. A demonstration of power. So they're hearing the words, and then the words produce power through the power of the Spirit. And friends, God, particularly in this Easter season, wants to show off his resurrection power through you. I loved it the other night at our high school ministry. Some of the girls, they were talking to one of the girls who had hurt her IT band in soccer. And I walked over and they were like saying, like, let's pray over her IT band. And it was amazing. And it wasn't like this instantaneous, like, oh my gosh, healing. But the instinct to pray for the power of God to come, to rely on God, to actually show up and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rely on the power of God because I believe in the gospel. So I'm going to give him a chance to heal. And in this resurrection season, it's kind of a dichotomy, right? It's kind of ironic. In this resurrection season where Christ is raised from the dead, rely on the power of the cross. It doesn't make sense. We can't make it work in our heads. We can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. But Christ is saying, rely on my power and I will demonstrate my love for you. So friends, today, rely on the power of the cross. And come to God in total and complete weakness. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.